Moira, that was 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What if someone sees us?
Who knows what will befall us tomorrow, John? You could be hit by a Mack truck or bopped on the head by a tiny piece of space debris.
I don't know. It feels risky.
Sound those wedding bells and pull the smoke alarm as we're back for the sixth and final season of Shitless. Moira is still secluded in her Catonic Closet retreat, which almost becomes her smoky coffin, and David and Patrick begin wedding planning at a too-good-to-be-true venue. Alexis frets about missing David's wedding when she leaves for the Galapagos, and Johnny takes a skinny dip in the elusive Schitt's Creek. So stop, drop, and roll as we kick things off with the season 6 premiere, Smoke Signals.
All right, everyone. Welcome back.
Hello. Stephanie. Hello. Yeah.
It feels like forever since I've seen your face, at least in this capacity.
It has. And even though everyone just heard us last week for our Canada special, we recorded that like
ago.
3 or 4 weeks ago. So it has been a minute since I've seen you.
It has been a minute. And last time you didn't even see me on the screen. I got my camera all fixed
yes,
up now.
You
though.
Guys, Katie looks like a full on gamer with her new like aerial panoramic view. I know you guys can't see her, but I can see her.
So like my laptop, which I already discussed last week, died and my camera was built right into that. So I had to look down at the screen. And now my only option is to look up at a wall mounted sky high screen. So it looks mm-hmm. like I'm in
she looks
a,
like, she
like
has
a studio
a,
or something
like a serious XM radio show or something.
I do, Stephanie. This is a serious professional show. So. Guys, if you're still with us, thank you for allowing us to indulge ourselves in this long summer break.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the way that we returned too with our little special bonus episode.
We had plans to come back in August. We had a schedule going and, you know, we just realized it was going to be a lot of go stop, 2 weeks on, 1 week off, 1 week on, 2 weeks off. And we just, we didn't want to do that to you guys because mm-hmm. that's never fun waiting extra, even though you waited a lot of extra time.
Right.
Now I think we can get through like 7 maybe back
to back.
I think
we might have
now.
Like one intermission.
6 or 7, yeah. So we just decided with everything going on, Steph had a trip to California. I had the big wedding I've been talking about this whole time.
Yeah.
What else? There's
we went
lots
to Canada.
Of other things.
So it was just a
Canada.
Busy summer.
Yeah. So we just decided, let's just wait. Just wait until we can just
and we'll come
pound right through them.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we hope you are as excited as us to be here.
Yes.
Big news over the summer. Lots of big news, though. Well, a few big items anyway.
We'll try to keep it to the top tier points. Yeah.
As I mentioned, this was a highlight in my life. I've been talking about Crystal and Dan's wedding forever.
Yes.
That finally happened, which is just in time. You know, now we're planning a wedding of our own on Schitt's Creek. So
yes,
David and Noah and Patrick will be planning their wedding. I turned 40, but also Dan Levy turned 40.
You and your birthday buddies, you like are days apart or like not that far off from each
other's
birthday.
He's like August 8th or 4th or something like that. He's like a week after me.
Yeah.
So just like Dan Levy did, I took all my pals to Italy. JK, I had a pool party in my backyard, but Dan Levy did take his friends to Italy. I'm sure you saw some of his Instagram posts.
Yeah.
So of the cast and crew, I know that Noah Reed and his wife Claire were there. Dan's sister Sarah was there.
Mm-hmm.
I think her baby and Noah Reed had their baby there, I believe, too.
Yeah.
The funniest post to me was, I believe Dan and Patrick posted a picture, or Dan and Noah in real life. I get the names all mixed up. Posted a picture together and said, "Oh my God, look who showed up." And it was the actress who played Rachel, mm-hmm. Patrick's first girlfriend, fiance.
Awkward.
Which I do know that Dan's really good friends with her in real life.
I remember talking about that.
Rachel showed up in Italy too, that bitch.
Yep.
So yeah, Dan and I both turned 40. That was a big momentous birthday. Of course, we took our Canada trip, which was exciting for us. Hope you guys enjoyed that recap.
Bucket list item, check.
Yeah. And as we mentioned, it was due to a cancellation for another big event for me, but all worked out in the end. It all worked out really well.
It totally did.
And last but not least,
somebody got engaged.
Stephanie,
we're engaged. Katie, you didn't get to propose to me in Canada, so Sushant decided to instead.
Guys, Steph's engaged. We've been waiting for this moment for so long.
It's been 84 years, as the Titanic lady says.
It's been 84 years.
Yeah,
we happened engaged. In San Francisco. Tell it everyone happened. Just a quick story.
Yes. So we were in California. Actually, we went out there to go to a friend's engagement ceremony and visit some of Sushant's family who I haven't met before out there. So we spent like 5 days in the Bay Area. We ended up actually getting engaged down in San Jose. We are at this place called the Winchester House. If you're familiar, it's like this crazy old Victorian house that's now a museum that has like 150 rooms. And it's supposedly like the most haunted house in America, which is right up my alley. But we went in the day when it wasn't spooky time. But yeah, he proposed outside of the house in like their little garden area. And it was very exciting and surprising. I didn't anticipate in that moment. Also, Katie, you and I are now Bay City engagement buddies because you got engaged in San Francisco.
Pacific and Coast engagement friends.
I remember when you told your engagement story, me being like, I can't imagine somebody traveling to propose with the ring in the luggage. And like, we only had carry-ons. We usually just try to have carry-ons. But now I'm like, oh my, because I didn't anticipate him proposing. And that was part of my thinking was like, that's a long way to bring a ring. And
what if you lose it? What if something happens to it?
Right. And he actually kept it in his like sunglasses case, which he was like carrying around more than usual. And then after he proposed, I was like, oh. Okay.
Hindsight is 2020.
That's what you were doing. Yeah. So yeah,
so Joe kept his in his backpack. That was with him at all times.
Well, yeah, the sunglasses were in the backpack, and if I went in for like sunscreen, he was like, "Oh no, let me get that for you." So like, it all makes sense now.
Stay out of my bag, bitch.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I'll post a little picture on the gram of like we didn't record the actual proposal moment, but we took some pics afterwards, and it was just a nice quiet moment, the two of us. We got to tell his family. We FaceTimed my family. And now it's just, I feel like I'm right in that boat with
now you're ready David and plan. Patrick.
Season six. We're in that planning period right alongside them.
So. What's the time frame here? What are we looking at, Steph? Do you have anything
great
set?
Great question. Yet? Nothing. We've been looking at some micro details. We need to work on our macro details is kind macro. Of where I'm at. So that's things like time and place.
Oh, those are macro details.
But we've been like looking at some of the fun other aesthetical things and just trying to get organized. But we definitely don't want like a super long engagement. So I would hope within the year, probably not before we finish this podcast, though. But we'll definitely keep you guys updated on the socials even after we wrap up our saga here.
So. Well, this is going to be fun. And this season's going to fit I feel right like into everything.
Like I've always said, David and I feel like I have such a he's such a kindred spirit, and now I feel so close to his
Who
journey.
Knew that Sushant was just waiting until you were in the right moment of this podcast to propose. That's all he
really
was waiting
was.
For.
It all makes sense now. I get
what a
it.
Guy.
Yep.
Well, that is exciting. We're all excited. I wanted to dish the news after it happened, just on our socials, but Steph said no. Let's wait until we can announce.
Able to like share it more. And my original big news was going to be I won the Simply the Best of Season 5 for Life is a Cabaret.
Why would you even bring that up? We didn't.
Well,
need
I just
it.
Had to.
I kind of had forgotten about it.
I know it, and that was our tightest race ever. Like it was like a 2-3.
It was, but it wasn't.
But it was like we've never had.
I
it
didn't
be that tight.
Win. I don't think I won a single category except
you
for one.
No, you did. You won one so at least two, and it was always such like. A
I
close
lost.
Race, so
okay.
You did great, Katie.
Okay,
you did great.
I'm still a little bitter about that one too.
Well,
are you sure?
We'll
I feel
check
like
the
I lost.
They're
I feel like I
Instagram.
Lost everyone by one vote in the end.
No, you won at least one day. I'm positive of that. It was just already after I'd already won 3 days. So at that point, it feels like, you know,
a moot.
It
point.
Is what it is. A moot point.
All right. Well.
So anyways, we're kicking things off.
There was more news over the summer and we just forgot to write it down. Yeah. Small things, nothing major. I think we tackled all the major
events. I think
events.
We did. We've got business to get to, and that is
we
got to
get moving.
Season six. Premiere. The actual premiere.
The premiere of season six. So I'm taking the lead. Thank you for just deciding that because we have not really just prepared a lot. Honestly, when I was rewatching these first two episodes, I thought I could go either way. I like both of them. Mm-hmm. So this is totally fine.
Okay.
And we've, of course, just for you, just picked out our Simply the Best and kind of catered our schedule to that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So here we go.
Here we are.
So let's start in the opening scene. we open in the motel, of course, with a frustrated Alexis in her little suitie cases.
I think
the first time we've seen her little suitie cases since season one. And this begs the question, where the hell have these huge things been? Because they aren't the type that will fit under the bed.
No, not at all.
I can only assume there must be a storage place that they have some things, right?
Yeah. A shout out back where all the tools are.
Right. Where Mutt found his cedar building tool chest.
Exactly. And
cedar chest. Cedar chest toolbox.
Cedar building tool chest.
Got it. And Roland found the old barbecue grill, and mm-hmm. that's where Alexis's suitcases have been. But they seem a little clean for that.
They do.
Patrick offers assistance. He says, are you sure you don't want any help with that? And she assures him that she once smuggled a friend in a much smaller suitcase than this from Laos to Vietnam. So I'm sure she's pretty sure she can do this.
Yeah.
We're back to those crazy foreign Alexis stories here.
Yeah, she's got
which I think we talked about before. Yeah, I think we talked before how they always remind me of that movie Broke Down Palace. Did we talk about that? Do you remember that Claire Danes was in this movie and Kate Beckinsale?
Okay.
And they get in trouble, like a drug smuggler sneaks drugs into their bags and they get in big trouble and put in this Thai prison or something.
Oh.
For smuggling things.
And is it like a drama? Like a thriller? 18.
Yeah, it's like a sad, it's a really sad ending actually, but real good movie. You should check it out. It's from the 90s. It's from my glory days. Broke Down Palace is what it's called. But that is always what I think of when Alexis tells these crazy stories about smuggling things in and out of countries. Like, you don't want to do that, Alexis. You're going to wind up in some crazy prison.
No.
Also, while we're talking about cramming stuff into suitcases, are you a hard shell suitcase or a soft shell suitcase gal?
I am a soft shell taco, but a hard shell suitcase, especially when it's a carry on, if I can.
Really?
Yeah. You like the soft
shell? I prefer the soft. I feel like they have more give and I can cram more shit into them, you know?
They can, but then sometimes they take on an amorphous shape, which, you know, bulges.
Doesn't always fit in the overhead bin.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the type of person, I used to be a carry-on girl, but I am the type of person now that just doesn't want to deal with dragging any of that crap through the airport. So I just check it and forget it. And then I don't have to carry anything.
I also think it depends where I'm going. Like when we go to New York, I try to take a duffel because I don't want to be rolling a suitcase through the streets in New York. But it kind of depends on the location.
I remember when you brought that duffel bag to New York and I thought, this bitch is crazy because we got a long walk to Aaliyah's house and you got to carry that.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, the streets of New York are gross, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. She's got these hard shell suitcases. They have no give, especially for all the stuff that she's trying to cram in them.
Yeah.
She's going to the Galapagos for like 6 months or something like that.
Right.
I think they talked about.
What is she packing in there? Can't be tankinis. We know that for sure.
You don't need to pack everything if you're going for that long because it is assumed you're going to be doing laundry. So when I try to go on my trips, if I'm going for 2 weeks or less, I'm trying to pack enough so I don't have to do like any type of laundry. But she's clearly going to have to do laundry. So she could pack like 7 outfits and be good for the whole duration of her stay.
We're talking about. There's at least 5 floppy hats in there for sure.
There are 3 or so in the background if you notice that.
Yeah.
Hippie hat. So she says, I assure you, I'll get this shut. While she's cramming all of her shit in there, she says that she just can't wait to get to the Galapagos and breathe the sea air. And David finishes her sentence. We know, and get your damn beach curls back. Basically, it sounds like he's a little fed up with this story.
Tired of hearing about it.
Johnny walks in and kind of just surveys the situation. And he says to Patrick and David, well, I can't join you for the wedding touring today because Moira's having a bad day today. Today's a bad day for her. And Alexis suddenly kind of perks up and is left out and says, no one told me this was on the agenda for today. But as David says, it's incredibly intimate. And I just crack up because they're always picking on Johnny. And she says, you invited dad. How intimate could it be, basically?
Yeah.
Johnny takes a little offense. Well, I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah.
And so Moira, we know, is having a bad day, and we soon find out that she is very much having a bad day.
Find out this is about a week later from where we left off.
Yeah. Too. So that's what I was going to say. We don't know. She's been hiding in the closet at this point. We don't know for how long, but that was the last time we saw Moira at the end of season 5. Mm-hmm. She's crawling in the closet. Johnny, you know, is saying nothing to see here and ending the party after the first night of cabaret. Well, she's been in there for a week, and they open the closet door. The latch is stuck. remind me to reprimand that latch, she says. And she is a mess. She is a hot, wild mess in this episode. I love, at least in the beginning of this episode, I love this look. She's wearing this white over-the-top frizzy wig that looks like you've been electrocuted.
I remember reading about this wig or hearing about it. It's backwards.
It's backwards. Yeah. So it's a, from what I remember, it's a wig of like that Sia, the singer, would wear. And she infamously wears her hair over her face.
Right.
So you can never see her face. So that makes sense that the short part is in the back.
Yeah.
So yeah, as far as I remember, and maybe someone can chime in and just verify this, but I'm pretty sure it's a Sia wig, meant to be a Sia wig.
Yes.
Worn backwards. So she's, it's a mess regardless.
And fun fact, Noah Reed also, when he did that tribute to Catherine when she got her award and he played that song, Case of You, and he's wearing all the wigs, he wears this wig at one point.
He did, yes. I remember that too. That was great. I think I remember her laughing hysterically when she saw that too. Catherine O'Hara in real life was just like, oh my God, she wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
So she's been in this closet for a week and Johnny is clearly kind of babying her and trying to just figure out what she's going to need to recover from this Crows movie being shelved. And said, look, honey, look who's come to see you. And she mistakes Patrick for room service and places her breakfast order. And it's funny because when you look at the kids, Patrick doesn't really know what to do with himself. But for David and Alexis, this is just a, you know, a recap of their past. Yes. they've seen this all before.
They've built up a tolerance to this.
Patrick just stands there with his hands in his pocket and Johnny says, no, it's David and Patrick, and doesn't mention Alexis, even though she's standing right there. And Alexis is like, thanks. Okay. So she says, oh, yes, you know, thanks for the reminder. Sadly, I will be unable to join you on this wedding tour also. And Alexis is pissed. You invited mom? She literally has been in a closet for a week. Mm-hmm. And doesn't anyone care that she's going to be gone for 6 months? And Moira just sneaks in a quick, take me with you. Which, I don't know. I already think Alexis is not going to enjoy the Galapagos that much. I don't think Moira would at all.
Improve her trip at all. No.
Patrick is feeling a little guilty at this point, which Patrick would. He's like kind of the voice of reason and in this sibling rivalry relationship. And says, Alexis, you're more than welcome to come to the venue, which now if Johnny and Moira can't go, they have extra room anyway. So why not? She says, well, that actually works out perfectly. And then afterwards, you can swing me on over to the airport.
Gives him a little boop boop and
see what you've done. She gives David a stank eye as we see in the mirror. Moira is closing herself back into the closet. So we'll see that wedding venue a little bit later. We're going to stick with Johnny and Moira first.
Okay.
On today's storyline, there's two major storylines. So next time we see at least Moira anyway, we start with an outside shot of the motel and clearly a smoke alarm is going off because you can hear it.
Yeah.
And inside the Rose's room, there's smoke coming from the vent next door. But Moira, of course, in the closet, calls out several possibilities of what this might be, including Johnny's alarm, David's strong cologne, someone vaping before she realizes, OK, the place might actually be on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's stuck due to this faulty latch.
And she is like trying to like, dear life.
Complete panic. No, this is not how I go. As if, I mean, I guess it would be alarming, but relax. Like panic is not going to help you.
No.
In runs Roland. And he's calling out Moira, Moira, Moira. And she thinks it's Stevie. His voice, which in all honesty, he's kind of dressed like Stevie. They've got matching plaid shirts.
That's also a running joke about like Stevie's, the quality of her voice too.
Yep. You know?
They've mentioned that several times.
The last time she thought Stevie was David when she was talking to them from Bosnia on the cell phone. But yeah. And honestly, Roland looks like Stevie kind of. They have matching plaid shirts on in this episode, I feel like.
That's the work uniform that they've chosen together.
He does dress like her. So, and he gets this closet door open for her and she clings to his legs. This is so dramatic the way she's acting. And he hoists her up and he says, she can hardly walk. And he says, geez, I would wait till 11 before my first drink at least. And she says, no, my feet are in slumber.
Carry me
from being crammed in the closet.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever heard of that? I don't even know what this is. If it's like a torture device or a situation where your people are put in a room where they're just, it's just short enough where they can't lay out straight or stand up straight.
Oh no.
I don't know if this is a real thing, but that's what I imagine for this closet situation. Like you would never be able to stretch out your body.
No.
So Moira's feet are asleep and she says, carry me the 8 feet to the door. And honestly, when she says that, they're almost to the door anyway.
They're like halfway there already. Yeah.
So they get to the door and she says, wait, my babies. And Roland says, no, your kids aren't here. Well, duh, Roland. She's not worried about her actual babies. No. She's worried about her wigs. If they take on smoke, they'll never recover. And so she sends him back in as if he would run back in to a fire to save wigs. We've already talked about this. We'd be running back in to save our cats, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So a few minutes later, presumably, I don't know how much time has elapsed, mm-hmm. but the fire is under control. And we see Moira sitting outside in one of the chairs and a whole pile of wigs in her lap.
But also so with apparently, like an old motel blanket around her shoulders.
Yeah, yes, yep. And apparently he went back in for a lot of wigs because she's got six or seven.
A rainbow of them, yeah, on her lap.
And she's just looked like completely dazed and confused. And Roland's telling Johnny about the whole story about how he tried to have a gel time toaster pop that says do not toast on the outside of the box. What is gel time? Sounds terrible.
I don't know, but it reminds me of moist liquid from moist
liquid. Yeah, similar.
Same
gel
brand.
Time.
Yeah.
And it honestly does kind of gross me out because I do like Pop-Tarts. And now I'm like, what
we
is
had this
in?
Conversation?
You don't though. Like Pop-Tarts. Mm-hmm. Have we had this conversation?
Yeah. You talked about your favorite flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew I remember bringing up the flavors, but what is that gel? And now I'm thinking maybe I shouldn't be eating Pop-Tarts. I don't eat them often, but.
Isn't it just like a jam, like a gelatin-y jam?
Yeah. Mostly a jam, but lots of cancer inducing coagulants as well.
Yum.
They, however, do allow you to toast them. I do know that. Yeah. I never eat them toasted. I eat them raw anyway. Cold.
Maybe it was one of Ivan's toaster popping tarts.
Toaster popping tarts.
Yes.
I have butter tarts. I have the toaster popping tarts. No, these were gel time toaster pops. And apparently they start a fire if you try to toast them. So that's what he's telling Johnny. And dazed and confused, Moira goes, how mercurial. This is one of my favorite, off segments, tangents mm-hmm. and wires. How mercurial is life? We all imagine being carried but from the ashes by the goddess Artemis. And here I get a balatrum from Barnum and Bailey. So tell me, Artemis, was that in the play we saw? What was the play? Hadestown?
That was Orpheus.
Orpheus. Okay. I was like, that wasn't one of the gods or goddesses in that play, right?
No.
So I'm really terrible at mythology, so I wasn't positive on that. I didn't know if it was like, I knew it wasn't one of the main characters, but I didn't know if it was one of those side gods or goddesses that they mentioned.
Let's see. Artemis in Greek religion is the goddess of wild animals, the hunt and vegetation, and of chastity and childbirth.
Oh.
So she's calling him a wild animal from the zoo, from Barnum and Bailey or the circus?
I don't know why this goddess fits this.
Well, maybe she's situation. Just saying Roland is like a wild animal from the Barnum and Bailey circus or something.
Well, see, that's not how I took that part of the line. When I heard Balatron from Barnum and Bailey, I basically assumed she was calling him a clown. And when I looked up the word Balatron, here's the wiki definition, a buffoon, one who speaks a lot of nonsense and is characterized by self-indulgence.
See, this is like the brilliance of Moira Rose is that she can insult someone right to their face and they don't even
and
know
they
that
have
she's
no
doing
idea.
It.
Because you have to look that shit up. Because
she's so
flabbergasted
about it. Yep.
Yeah. So I definitely assumed with the Barnum and Bailey line, I was just thinking, Roland's kind of a clown. But that was mm-hmm. like before I looked it up. But I didn't understand. Now I don't understand the Artemis reference because I need to know more about this goddess. Why would you be imagined being carried from the ashes by her? You know?
Right.
This is a clear indication, too, that Dan Levy and whoever's writing this stuff, they're way smarter than me
because I wouldn't know
any of this information on a regular basis. So.
Shout out to writers. Writer strike still going on, by the way. Yeah, we need them back.
Yeah, writers and actor strikes. Mm-hmm. Man, fall TV, all TV is going to suck. Man, we should have mentioned that at the beginning. If we were going to mention any news, forgot about that.
Yeah.
So back to the show. Anyway, she calls Roland a clown and Roland's like, okay, I gotta go. I'm gonna go to lunch, get this burnt toaster smell off my body. And Moira's sitting there with this just dazed look on her face, and she, I don't know, Johnny says he's going to fix the latch, and she says, there's no need. I have been gifted a smoke signal. And she
is the title of this episode.
Yeah. She is done going in the closet. Mm-hmm. And Johnny doesn't seem convinced, but this toaster pop pastry fire has been an eye-opening moment for her.
This is
of all things, this toaster pop pastry moment, fire moment is the moment. And she is now realizing this industry, this career has not been kind to her, and she is done moping over it. And Johnny, you can tell he's not super convinced, but he also is relieved to finally hear these words come out of her mouth. Mm-hmm. And he kind of has to play dumb. Well, I don't know. It hasn't been that bad, but if that's what you think, like, and she says, this industry has burned me over and over again. And he says, this is amazing that you're having this epiphany.
That shows you where his mind has been maybe for a long time, maybe for really decades. Just
like sick of watching her get hurt, right?
But was willing to be that supportive husband if that was still what she wanted. But now that she's feeling like that's not what she wants anymore, he's finally like,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just shows you how supportive he's been for her all of this time, really.
This to me too, I remember watching this for the first time. And I remember thinking, wow, this is where Moira finally turns around. Like, this is where Moira is finally going to be putting roots down in this town after the success of Cabaret. She has a purpose now. Maybe she's going to start a local community theater. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's done with Hollywood. And I thought, this is it. Like, this is the final Rose family member that we need to like really settle down. I remember thinking that I was full in on that theory when I watched this the first time around. Mm-hmm. So Johnny says, you know, he's kind of feigning support, but still a little hesitant, but he says, you know, like, I'm just relieved and I'll be by you no matter what. And if that's what you want, let's do it. And she says, should we celebrate with a lunch, lay a blanket somewhere?
Her mood is there's just this weight 100%. Off her shoulders.
Which it would be if you could think of that situation and be like, God, I'm mm-hmm. it's like me giving up my wedding business. Like, what a relief. It was a sad thing, but mm-hmm. it was such a relief. And I never looked back, you know? So
same.
She said, yeah, you too. Like, mm-hmm. it's just you do these things and you know, you don't know they're not that good for you until after the fact.
Right.
And it's like, wow.
Or you just know when it's time to be done.
Yeah.
So
she said, yeah, I'm up for a picnic. Let's celebrate. I've never felt more lucid, which sounds like a drug induced something to me. Yeah. And she's including that Peruvian ayahuasca retreat with Alan Tipper. So I had a quick look up what ayahuasca retreat was.
Yeah.
And it is drug induced, I'll tell you.
Okay.
So this is a thing. They're all over the place, but Peru is where they originated. And ayahuasca is an indigenous, they're a plant or a medicinal thing. And you basically, if you go on a retreat, you spend a day spying with massages and mud baths and organic food and yoga classes, etc. And then at night, you work closely with a shaman. And you do a shaman. See, I'm not smart enough to talk about any of this. Okay. Sorry, guys. A shaman. You work closely with a shaman. And the one I'm reading here says a guided journey into another dimension. So they light, you know, like some indigenous drugs,
some plants
or something, some herbs. Yeah. So, and then I was remembering a book. I can't remember for the life of me what book it was, but some book I read, a woman did this and it was life changing. Like it's almost like a mushroom trip, I think, or
sounds
like where you just like see the world in colors and different ways. Here's another wiki answer on what happens on an ayahuasca retreat. This is funny. During the day, they pamper you with all the luxuries of a wellness retreat, massages, volcanic mud baths, organic food, yoga classes, colonic cleanses. Then at night, you drink ayahuasca and put yourself through emotional and physical hell.
Sign me up.
Sounds relaxing. So
yeah.
They apparently went on one with Alan Tipper Gore. I don't think this is the first time they've mentioned the Gore family, honestly.
It's not.
And So apparently good friends with them, and they all went and got lucid together. So they head to the creek for a picnic, and this is the first and only time we have seen the actual creek, which, Steph, we now know there is a creek right behind the motel.
Yes. And now I rewatch this episode and I picture it, I picture them behind the motel somewhere on that creek.
I wonder if that's where they filmed it. We should have.
I know. I kind of wonder.
Who knows? It couldn't have been far off, though. No. Right. Lo and behold, in real life, there is an actual creek, though.
There is a creek.
So they're walking and reminiscing a little bit about life and just talking. And, you know, Moira says, oh, being here reminds me of that one time we went skinny dipping. Remember reminiscing about their youth. And Johnny says something about, I lost my Patek Philippe in that lake, but wouldn't have had it any other way.
Is that a watch?
It is a watch. I had to Google that.
That was my guess.
You go to the website and then you find an authorized retailer. So I found the one nearest to me, which is somewhere in Grosse Pointe, Michigan. And these Patek Philippe watches are by request a quote only. So, you know, they're pricey. If you got that. But he lost it in a lake. Man, I would be sad. I would be crying if I lost something like that in a lake.
Yeah.
But she gets a little frisky and she says, well, we're alone. We could do it again, John.
Mm-hmm. She's also wearing this like Presidential Medal of Freedom. Which I
said
love.
That too. So in my notes, it was almost like some kind of decorum that you receive for like honors at graduation. Mm. And she's also got some very Moira signature looks, like her printed tights and her boots. And the umbrella is very Tim Burton-y.
Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Calabrella. Oh my gosh. What is that?
Tim Burton umbrella. How much is in that wine, Stephanie? Shaman. Shaman. Oh boy.
It's nice to be back.
It sure is.
I enjoy my midweek drink.
Tim Burton umbrella. I got you.
Yeah.
Puffy sleeves. It's just a very solid get up for Moira for being back. Moira's back, you know. So she gets a little frisky and says, we should do it. We can't let life pass us by. And I think our title of our episode comes up in this line. She says, you never know what could happen. You could be hit by a Mack truck or bopped on the head with a tiny piece of space debris. Man, my Moira accent is good tonight.
So Sean even said, listening back to you do your monologue, he was like, she's really good at the Moira voice. I was like, yeah, she's had lots of practice.
I feel like sometimes when I'm trying so hard or when I've overdone it, I just kind of lose it and it doesn't work, but I haven't been doing it for so long now. So before we rebaptize ourselves, Johnny's convinced, they're ready to jump right in.
Yeah.
Before we rebaptize ourselves, though, she says, let me call my agent and I'm going to make it official. I'm going to cut ties with this former world, right? Mm-hmm. And then she practically has to wander back into town to get a signal. So why didn't you do this before you left? So have you been skinny dipping, Stephanie? Have we talked about this?
No, I have not. And I would definitely not in a creek. No. I would not expose my bare bits to that E. coli. Mm. No, thank you.
Or like leeches or something.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I think that, okay, so first off, I do have a pool. We have not skinny dipped in the pool.
Okay.
Primarily because the neighbor's windows are higher than our fence. So there would be literally no way to do that privately.
Nope.
I guess you could always get dressed once you're in the pool, maybe.
Yeah, just keep those lights off.
As a teenager, I'd have to swim in complete darkness. As a teenager, I remember skinny dipping once in my sister's pool because we thought it was just, hey, you were skinny dipping, like teenage kids, you know. And her pool was far from the house and they lived in the country. So it was by default very dark there anyway.
Yeah.
As far as in nature like this, I would never skinny dip, but I have done like underwear jumping and things like that, like at the beach in Bad Axe, like Bad Axe, but Port Austin. I jumped off the breakwell on my underwear once, but also there's a gravel pit behind my sister's house in the woods that me and my brother-in-law like would jump into. I would slurp down to my underwear to do that, but I like of all the places to get leeches and E. coli, I'm thinking I would never do that now.
No kidding.
We just had to ride the four-wheeler to get back there, and we just discovered it. And we were like, oh, it's a hot summer day. Let's go for a dip. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I would never in a million years do that now. crazy how you're
I won't get in a pool that's colder than 80 degrees. There's no way.
I don't know what the water temp was, but it was disgusting. Yeah. Regardless.
Hard pass.
So we see Moira next, and Johnny is walking up and clearly has been wet, and his shirt is
kind of a throwback to season one Johnny with the drip.
The drip. Yeah, he's gonna say it's the second time Eugene, who we know hates getting his hair wet, had to do this for the show. So
you'd think it's wet. Like his son writing these episodes or something.
Yeah, and like just want to torture my dad a little bit. Mm-hmm. So next thing we know, they're walking up to Moira, who's on the phone. And first of all, this conversation doesn't seem like it's going as we expected it to go, because Moira seems like she's getting good news and is happy and something is happening. And she hangs up the phone, and it's very clear she's been on this phone call for a minute. Johnny's thoroughly annoyed. And this officer says, I found your husband in a state of undress.
Not a state of duress. Again, just brilliant writing. Pay our writers.
She clearly totally forgot what Johnny was even doing, because he was getting ready to go skinny dipping when she left him.
I think he already started. Yeah.
So she said, well, last I heard, a decades long successful marriage was hardly a criminal offense. And he says, well, no, but being naked in a public creek is. But since I was fishing where I shouldn't be, I'll cut it off with a warning. And she gives a line. I don't know exactly what the line is, but it just reminds me of me with our customs border guy. And I said, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Not to him, like after we left.
Right.
But it was like, thank you for your diligent appreciation of the law, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Johnny's pissed. But she says, button up that birthday tux, John, because I have great news. The Crows movie is back in business. And a new web streaming series has picked it up, which is, I got to think about when this episode was written and when it happened, because web streaming was big.
Yeah.
Like that was all you could do when that pandemic was happening.
And that was also like when I think, like all the new streamings, like Disney Plus, and NBC, whatever, like those were all happening, I think, around that time.
Yep. It's Interflix. Interflix picked up the Crows movie that was previously shelved by the studio. And she is now full back in on this job. Full in.
She is.
And obviously, Johnny is hesitant. And he says, you know, I just worry about the next time it's not good news, which we all do, because look at what's happened to her in the last few seasons.
Yeah.
But she says, how serendipitous, the industry comes crawling back to me just when I was about to leave it. And she says, oh, Officer fly fishing, Officer Fly Fisher is gone. Why don't we take that dip? And Johnny said, no.
That moment has passed. Yeah,
it's over. So they will be going home now, or at least not going for a dip. Yeah. So that's kind of where we leave them.
But
kind
she also not only is she excited, she almost like doubles down on her career.
Yeah. My whole thing with this, too, is even if it was picked up by Interflix, I mean, so what? You don't have to get back in just because of that. Just take your royalties and your paycheck and still leave, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But who knows? They might want publicity and things like that. But that doesn't mean you have to get back in.
Yeah. I'm going to reserve my feelings for how this storyline is evolving until we're a little bit deeper into the season, because I definitely have some feelings about it.
Me too.
But let's let it unfold a little bit more. I'll put it
there's a lot to unpack for all of this. Mm-hmm. But like I said earlier, like this episode, I thought even maybe after this, like I thought Moira's finally going to be staying here.
Yeah,
that's what I think. That's what I think. I was full in on like, yes, perfect. Yes. Yeah. We need this change for Moira. So let's take a break. That's where we leave off with the mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
With the roses, the senior roses.
We're a little rusty.
We'll take a break and we'll be back in a flash.
Love and fresh flowers are in the air this week, thanks to our sponsor, Elmbridge Manor, a premier wedding venue for the couple who is looking to create a day that you and your credit score will never forget. Their exclusive private estate will give you and yours access to a beautiful backdrop for your ceremony and reception, with all-inclusive decor and farm-to-table catering options that will have your guests feeling rosy with delight and green with envy. With packages to suit every offshore trust fund budget, Elmbridge Manor's on-site coordinator, Clive, will work to ensure your day is as Instagrammable and TikTokable as possible. Don't forget to ask about their first Sunday of the month discounts and mention this podcast to waive the uncorking fee for your champagne toast. Thanks again to our sponsor, Elmbridge Manor, where love is the only thing that's free. All couples booking on first Sundays must waive any liability for Elmbridge Manor of any physical or psychological distress caused by environmental swine processing events. Vegan couples be warned.
All right, and we are back. Thank you, Elmbridge Manor, for sponsoring this episode.
Yes.
So sorry we couldn't pay a visit while we were in Canada.
I was just going to say that's the one venue we didn't visit on our trip. You know, they have that farm up the road, that pig farm up the road there, Stephanie. That's they do all their farm-to-table catering. Did I ever tell you we used to raise pigs in our barn when I was a kid?
You did tell me you
raised pigs. We talked about that on this podcast. Yeah. We've talked about so much on this podcast. Like, I cannot remember what... I mean, what in my life has been a Schitt's Creek podcast conversation with you and a real life friend?
Right. It just all blurs together.
Anyway, we never were doing farm to table bacon sandwiches for wedding venues, which is sad. If I knew that was a possibility, I might have floated the idea with my dad.
Well, it's probably a good thing we didn't go there because we were there on a Sunday and I think it was the first Sunday of the month. So they would have been
They would have been
harvesting
busy.
Those pigs. Yes,
it was the first Sunday of the month. Do you know where that was, though? Did you look into that when you were mapping
it
all
was,
the places?
It was, I think it was kind of if we would have gone to Rattlesnake Conservation Point, it would have been like in that direction, slightly
out
west
that way.
Of town. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. That's all right. They didn't end up having their wedding there anyway.
No,
newsflash. Newsflash. Spoiler to the end of this episode. So.
Sorry, Clive.
Back to the kids then. Yes. So after the kids leave the motel, we see them drive up to the venue. Two suitcases hoisted on top with some shoddy rope job. Mm-hmm. And more crammed between Stevie and Alexis. You can see them get out of the back.
Yeah.
And the bags are in there. And of course... Of course, Stevie's included. I mean, we don't know what capacity she's part of this wedding yet, but of course she's here to be a part of this because I'm sure she's playing a big part. Yeah. She still has some crazy makeup on and looks at herself in the mirror and says, well, no one thought to tell me I still had my show makeup on. And David said he thought that was a choice.
A choice. That gives us some context, too. Like, the show ran for a week. Moira clearly was in the closet for that whole week, so she did not
really
show up for the rest of Cabaret.
It really does. And this is a big topic in the groups because people don't catch that the fact that the show ran for a week. So mm-hmm. many people, when they're talking about this, don't understand why Stevie still has show makeup on. They think that it's the day after the first show. And it's like, no, they had several shows. Yes. And then the wrap party. I think people miss that small mm-hmm. little line. And you know, Alexis left her double fisting in the hot tub, which also leads the question, where was this wrap party? Mm-hmm. Was this at the place with the golf course that had the hot tubs already? The one all that partied with the golf?
Or maybe they just filled Roland's truck up with hot water.
I mean, you ever seen those like back of truck pools people make?
They put a tarp in.
It's very impossible. They're calling that a hot tub. Mm-hmm. That would be very Schitt's Creek of them. And be in the woods like that party from season one.
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm going to need a stiff drink to get through this.
Open your throat. Yeah.
So she still has her makeup on. They're all ready, you know, to look at this venue, and out walks the proprietor with a tray of champagne. Mm-hmm. And he immediately approaches Stevie and Patrick, and that's the wrong couple.
Yeah.
And then he says, oh, no, sorry. And then approaches the ladies with the champagne.
David's look of offense throughout this
and
whole experience.
Dave, I mean, okay. In his defense, he's a progressive guy. He doesn't care who's getting married, but he just thought somebody had just come from their trial. Which with that makeup, it's a little rusty. I think you should find a new makeup artist.
Yep.
David's a little peeved, but I think this is like the first little glimpse of his bridezilla side. Okay, hi.
Yeah.
So they begin the grand tour, and it is a gorgeous place, Stephanie.
Beautiful estate.
My only wish is if we had gone there, it would have been awesome to be there. And do they do weddings there? It would be cool to see an actual wedding there.
Totally.
He's talking up the farm to table catering from the place down the road. The beautiful gardens. This place has stone paths, stone facade, peonies blooming. I'm sorry if they were too strong.
Shut they just up, rained. Guy. Yeah.
And they fall in love with this place. Now. Yeah. Having been in the wedding business and mm-hmm. even having not been in the wedding business, I'm sure everyone can tell that this place is very expensive. There is no doubt I mean, this place reminds me, I don't know if you're familiar with Castle Farms in Charlevoix here in Michigan.
No, I'm not.
I mean, that is an actual castle that I don't know what it was used for, if it was just created as a wedding venue. I don't know the history behind it, but it's a big stone castle looking venue with several rooms that you can have your wedding in and gardens like this. And like, that's an elite venue here in Michigan. Right. So this place is most definitely over the top.
Yeah.
So they overlook these gardens and they're standing on the steps, the four of them with Clive. I don't know if we know his name is Clive yet, but that's his name. And they're all clearly falling in love with this place. And they all just agree.
Like, we're seeing a happy David face for sure.
Yeah. I think we have a winner, Clive, is what he says, which first of all, I'm thinking, A, we don't know how much this is. So I could see this storyline coming a mile away.
Yeah, for sure.
B, have you looked at any other venues yet? Like, it's only been like a week, 2 weeks since they got engaged. So like, you probably haven't looked at any other venues yet.
So I can now relate to this experience firsthand as a fellow fiance. It is very overwhelming. And that's why we're still like struggling with those macro details, because like, that's going to set the stage for everything. It's also one of the biggest expenses.
For sure.
And one of my...
It is the biggest expense.
Oh, I can imagine. And one of my really best friends from college gave me some great advice about her wedding, and which I really loved how she went about hers. And she just said, you know, there are a million wedding scenarios that are all wonderful. And at the end of the day, you just have to choose one of those scenarios and go with it. And I think the deciding is the part that I'm struggling with the most. And Sushan and I even talked about how, like, if we find a vendor that doesn't advertise their prices, that's a huge red flag.
Oh, 100%.
Because first of all, not only are they going to waste probably both of our time, like, it's on us if we reach out to a vendor who we know is over our budget, but it's on them if they're not being upfront about their pricing and then they have a useless meeting with someone who can't afford them anyways. Like, it's wasting
like
both
this,
of our
like
time.
This one that we're about
exactly.
to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think for ours, we would put starting at on our, like our base package price. So at least you know what you're getting into. And then we never even, after someone made an inquiry, I send them the full package pricing. So there's no meeting or deciding or anything until they see our prices.
Fully transparent, yeah.
People have budgets. I'm not like that. I'm not really budget savvy. like I'm not good with like budgets, but like people are when it comes to weddings. And so, yeah, for sure, I could tell this place was going to be way out of their budget at this point in time. Like, we don't know how good the store is doing at this point, but it's not a $100,000 wedding good, right?
It's not.
They go in to see the prices, Stephanie, and they go in to look over the paperwork and all the shit falls apart. Everything falls apart for David, at least.
They can accommodate everything, Clive says, as long as you have the money for it.
Ted walks in with Ted. The funny thing is the wedding person for Crystal and Dan's wedding name was Ted. It's like the coordinator for the place. Ted walks in. Clive walks in. And he's got this binder, and he says, we got a gold, silver, and bronze package. Mm-hmm. We can really accommodate anything, though. What's your guess on price, Steph? Do you think it was by the head? Probably by the guests, right?
I'm guessing this is like an all-inclusive. Like, they've got the food, the venue, price. The tables,
catering,
and the tables, everything. Probably like $25,000.
So do you think it was priced like that? So here's
or you think it was per head?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. A lot of, especially for a lot of venues, priced by the head, but then they also have a room
minimum
fee, like a room booking fee altogether. So if you think like $25,000, I bet you it was that plus the per head person for food and tables and catering and all that. Mm-hmm. I was guessing like between $100 and $200 a person.
But there must be a minimum for that, right? Because otherwise you could say
on top of the room fee.
The room fee. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So you think like you're inviting 100 people and it's $200. That's $20,000 on a wedding plus if the room fee.
Right.
It's just insane to me what people spend on weddings. Crazy. Having been in the business, I mean, I know I relied on it for income for quite a while. And it was great. But
I've started listening to a wedding planning podcast where they talk a lot about like traditions and why they exist, and gives you some like budget savvy ways to maybe reinvent or decide what's important to you. And they talk a lot about like the average wedding price. And I want to say it was between like $25,000 and $30,000. Oh, wow. Is the average. But those really expensive weddings are skewing that average too.
Right. Of course. Of course. It kind of reminds me too of The Office when Michael bought his engagement ring for Holly and it's huge. And he said, well, they say 3 years.
3 years salary.
And Oscar's like, no. It's 3 months. Oh boy. But anyway, David's tasting metal again. And the metal he's tasting is copper. Do you have a copper package? No, we cannot accommodate that.
No. And he, Clive almost like laughs at him too when he says that. Like,
nasty Clive. Yeah. Fuck off. Mm-hmm. And Patrick, of course, like, did you not ask to see the prices up front? Well, no, they don't give you the prices up front. Well, now we know why, Stevie says, because no one would come here.
Right.
And like we were just saying, it's kind of shady. Like, why waste everyone's time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Stephanie, Clive can see that you're very desperate and I have an opening on a Sunday afternoon, which this is another thing. Vendors, places will give off day discounts.
Yes. Friday, Sundays, middle of the week, I suppose.
I personally did not, because the workload is no for you less, doesn't change. It is no less work for me as a wedding videographer. Mm-hmm. So, plus, honestly, I just was relishing my time off at that point anyway. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, we don't. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
And David says, well, he said, I had a cancellation. We already discount the first Sunday every month, and I can give you an additional 30% off. But it's a month from today. Wah, wah.
Mm-hmm.
David's excited. David's ready to go. He said, this is basically free. Well, how do you know? You don't even know what the discount is.
It's basically free. Okay, what's 20% off? Let's say it is $25,000.
Even if it's 20% off, an additional 30% off, like, it's not free still.
Yeah.
So, and plus, he said, I don't know what he said he planned in a day, or whatever he said, but that'll get rid of all the dead weight. We don't want all these extras coming anyway, which, first of all, just don't invite them if you don't want them to come.
Right.
But hi, Alexis will be in the Galapagos. Am I the dead weight? And then things get tense.
Yes.
So, of course, Patrick is a voice of reason in this sibling little scuffle here. And David loses his shit. Full on Bridezilla. I'm not having my big day ruined because Alexis wanted to chill in a tankini for 6 months. First off, what's a reasonable amount of time to plan a wedding, Stephanie? Do you think it could be done in 30 days?
Unless you're eloping to Vegas, I do not think so. Or going to the courthouse, I do not think so.
So Patrick makes the point that we have to give people notice, like, people will be traveling for this. So that's a big factor. I guess it depends on who you want there.
Because you need time to send out invites and let people prepare. Some people do save the dates even farther out. So, and do you want to enjoy your engagement period, or do you just want to get to the wedding?
Yep. I guess that would be another factor. If you've been dating for 15 years and are finally just getting married, why wait any longer?
Right.
So they don't think it can be done. But Alexis storms out and says, honestly, if this is the type of bride you're going to be, I'm glad I'm going to be gone. Mm-hmm. And she says exactly what I was thinking. Alexis would never wear a tankini. Ever.
No. Never. Cover up that midriff.
No way. No.
No. Katie, she, how long was your engagement period? I don't know that I've ever asked you that before.
We were engaged for about a year. So we dated for 5 years. We got engaged in just under a year. We got engaged in November and we got married in the following October.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think that's pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal and Dan were engaged for a year and a half about. So it feels like if you want the big wedding and you want to do like the traditional things, you kind of need that amount of time, like a year.
Yeah.
I would say 6 months to a year at least at minimum.
Yes.
But like you said, if you're eloping, things can be done quicker and things can be put together because you're not counting on giving people a lot of notice and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I think Crystal will agree with her. I haven't talked to Crystal since the wedding, but very little, which was 2 weeks ago now. I think she'll agree with me that when you're planning a wedding like this, like a bigger wedding, where it's more traditional and you're having an extended period of time, you do so much up front. And then you have this like down period.
Waiting.
And then at the end, there is so much little shit that you just didn't think of. Because I remember her being like, I don't want to make another decision. I don't want to make another decision this week. It's so annoying. Mm-hmm. So it's wild. Wedding planning is wild. It's been a while for me. But having just gone through it with her, it's like, oof, it's a lot for one day. It was great. It was great. Don't get me wrong. It will be great for you also, but it's a lot.
If I seem really quiet right now, it's just because I'm still very overwhelmed.
And I'm not helping at all, guys. So,
everyone who asks me, like, because I've like told everybody at work and my family, and they're like, do you have a date? And I just like shake my head. I'm like, nope. Like, I just,
it's like,
I'm nervous to start the real planning because I know once it starts, it's not going to stop.
It doesn't. And that's the thing. But you're a good organizer and a good planner and just really good at keeping things like that on track.
I am. But then I think I struggle with the timeline, too, of like, do I want this to be my life for 6 months or do I want this to be my life for 12 months? Because I know it's just going to be.
Well, and you have some things for work and things planned, like, too. So you got to kind of factor
like
that
I'm going
too.
To India next March for a school trip thing. And I just got like.
Hypothetically, could we tag it onto that trip?
Oh my God, I don't know.
That'd be too much.
We do want to have an India thing at a later date. So that's also
at some point.
We're looking at international situations here.
See, that adds a whole extra level of complication too, obviously.
We're starting with the American wedding and then we'll take it from there. But
see, I know like for Crystal and Dan, because
he's British.
He's from England. So yeah, that they luckily, I mean, not luckily, because I definitely would have been on board with that. Didn't want to do a separate thing over there. But that's because they knew as like a lot of people would be able to and could come from there. Yeah. Whereas from India, it's quite a big difference than just going across the Atlantic. You
it's
know?
Like a 200-day wait period for a visa interview. So forget about it. Yeah.
Well, whatever it is. The most important thing is in the end of the day, you're married.
Right.
So.
And hopefully there's no pigs being slaughtered in the background.
David, after this like emotional outburst from both him and Alexis, starts emotional eating these little Sammies made with the house made bacon up the road. He basically steals one right out of Stevie's hand.
Yeah.
And next we see Alexis pacing outside and clearly. Oh, wait, I wanted to talk. Sorry, guys, this episode's probably going really long. We didn't start a timer, but we have a lot to say. I also want to talk about the food planning.
Oh,
because let's talk about the fun part of wedding planning is when you go tasting for your venue. So,
Katie, I can already tell you we're going to have Indian food at our wedding.
So oh, my God.
It's going to be good.
I'm so excited about that. So when I got married, we got married in one of the four venues in Huron County in Bad Axe, Michigan. So there's no such thing as like food tasting when you go plan your wedding in Huron County. But I did get to go for Crystal and Dan's. And let me tell you, we made some solid choices. I said to Crystal, my only regret about this wedding is that I didn't eat more, but I didn't eat a ton because
on the day, if you're involved in the wedding, you're not eating, you don't have time.
My thing is I had to give a speech and the speeches were after dinner. So I was afraid to eat too much where I would be like, oh my God, nervous pooping in the bathroom when they called my name.
Yeah.
But the food was so good. The mashed potatoes, the rolls, the bridesmaid sitting next to me, Ashley, was like, is it a no-no to take one of the cake to go containers and fill it with rolls? Because they were so good. It was really good. So that's one of the fun parts. I'm sure you'll enjoy eventually. Yes. Some. Indian food, though.
We've got a food tasting episode coming up this season, so we'll definitely circle back.
Yes. Hope maybe you'll do your tasting by then. Maybe things will be underway.
We'll try to keep the Schitt's Creek timeline. We'll see about that.
So, Steph, plan your wedding this fast. Get going. Get going, okay? So we can coincide all this stuff. So next, Patrick and Stevie clearly have had a talk with David because they're practically shoving him out the door to apologize to Alexis. And she says, what happened? Did they run out of sandwiches? And David says, no, yes, but that's not why I'm here. We're not taking the place and I don't want to get married without you. And I'm apologizing for making you feel excluded. But he's doing the classic, I'm sorry, but when you talk about leaving every 5 minutes, I don't feel like including you, which is fair. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, be present. We all know you're going to the Galapagos. Like, Stevie loves every minute of this, though, because David's essentially apologizing and she'd never thought she'd see the day.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Patrick's getting in his car because they're not taking the place. They're done here. They're going to get to the airport. The car is not starting. Bop, bop.
Man, and if they need to pay for car repairs, there's no way they can afford it.
Yeah, that's another big deal here.
Yep.
But Alexis says, oh my God, I can't be late. And David says, well, why don't you go in and find out if Clive can do anything to help? She said, well, my feet are killing me. And Patrick says, why don't we go in and see if Clive can do anything else? Just judging a book by its cover, Clive probably isn't going to be able to help with this.
No.
And the boys leave Stevie and Alexis outside, and Alexis is pacing, and Stevie makes the comment, why the hell are you wearing heels when you're flying? I concur. Flying is a very comfy wardrobe setup for me. You too, right?
Yes.
I don't want to be even in jeans on an airplane.
Pass. No tight seams, buckles, zippers pressing into me.
Well, I know we've talked about this too, but I like the slip on and off shoes.
Oh, 100%.
I know, like, no, it's a no-no to take your shoes off, but I do it on long flights. I have to.
Yeah.
So it's too tiring and exhausting to wear feet on my shoes.
Through security. I keep my shoes on the flight.
Oh, no. No, on the flight, I slip them off sometimes too. I don't have to take them off during security because I got pre-checked. That was the best $85 I ever spent in my life. I think I've told you this before. Every time we go through and I see the people like taking their shoes off, say to Joe, look at these peasants. It's $85 or something like that. And it lasts 5 years. And I love it. Not only do you not have to take your shoes off, you don't have to take your jacket off. You don't have to take your laptop out of your bag. You don't have to do all this crap. Not that I travel with my laptop, but you just walk through. It's amazing. Anyways, Alexis reassures Stevie, well, I'm not wearing these the whole flight. They'll give me the slippers when they give me the mimosas. And Stevie says, it's been a minute since you flew economy, huh? Which I probably is never in her life. So
yeah.
I've never had that treatment, by the way. I've flown Comfort Plus on Delta, and we flew first class to Vegas because we got bumped, and I never got slippers. So we did get hot towels on a flight from Finland to America once, which was everybody, not just first class. So that was a nice little perk. Yeah. Stevie kind of clues Alexis in this. They have a little bit of a heart to heart outside, a girl to girl moment, because Alexis is pacing and getting pissed and saying, oh, I've never needed a vacation more. And okay, we already know Alexis, it's not this type of vacation, right? And Stevie says, you know, look, this is what is annoying David and pretty much everyone. And she said, you won't shut up about your trip. And I think it's hurting his feelings, which it kind of would be, because wouldn't you want your sister to be excited about your wedding planning and not rubbing it in your face that she's leaving? And she also says, you know, I'm a little jealous too. I wish I had this opportunity to get up and go. Now that cabaret is over, I don't really know what I'm going to be doing. She kind of hints like, I don't want to go back to the motel. I'm sick of just sitting in Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
So Alexa says, dude, I'm literally going to a place that doesn't have a Sephora for 2,700 miles. First of all, I've never bought a single thing at Sephora. Have you?
I have. And your paycheck just walks right away out of your hands.
So I will say, I can relate to that part. I'm an Ulta girl. That's the only reason I've never bought
anything. I'm usually an Ulta. There's a couple specialty things that I can't get at Ulta. So it
is so dangerous walking into these stores. It is like my money just grows wings and flies away when I walk in. And it's like things I didn't know I even needed. I will go in for one specific thing and walk out with seven.
Yes. And then you're in line and they have little samplers.
They have all the things in the checkout. Yeah. It is the target of cosmetics, right? Yep. You walk out with things you don't need. She also admits, Alexis does, basically because of this, she's still talking herself into this trip, hyping herself up that talking about it and being excited about it is literally the only way she can be, because
convince herself. Yeah.
She knows like it's really not a vacation in the end. Mm-hmm. And Stevie, in the meanwhile, Stevie's like, I think I love your sense of adventure, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, Alexis just can't look away from her phone. Mm-hmm. And Stevie says, what is happening here? Because I'm about to give you a compliment for the first time
ever. You're going to miss it.
And Alexis says, no, I know, but I can't check into my flight. Do they not let people in economy get their boarding pass first? And Stevie says, well, let me see what you're dealing with. And herein lies the problem. And it is something only Americans will have a problem with, because yes. I believe this is common everywhere else in the yes. world.
It's the kilometers all over again.
It really is. It is day first, month second. Whereas in America, we are month, day, year, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So she's
day, month, year.
She's not flying on July 8th. She's flying on August 7th, which mm-hmm. is 30 days away. And now it's like, well, okay. She's very frustrated. What am I going to do now? I can't make any changes. Well, it's not like you were going to catch a flight to the Galapagos in 3 hours anyway.
No.
Regardless, it's too late for that. Stevie suggests, well, you can start by letting David know we can take the venue on that discounted day since you'll mm-hmm. be here, which also would still suck to go to the wedding and leave the next day, but right. I guess. And she says, no, I would literally rather sleep at the airport for a month
than let him
then admit
that.
Her brother through her brother she was wrong and say sorry. So the boys come back out. Shocker, there's no jumper cables. The tow truck can't come for over an hour, so they're going to call her a cab. Clive doesn't drive because he's scared of car horns. So I have a short, funny story about fear of driving. After the wedding, we went on the golf course for pictures a few places, and we were all paired up with our person. And I was paired up with one of the British best men. His name is Connor. Sorry, Connor, if you're listening, I'm calling you out on this. He lives in London. And I was like, oh, you're driving, like you drive. And he's like, said something about being nervous about driving. I was like, oh, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. But boy, Stephanie, he was nervous about driving, and it was a golf cart, and he had the shakes and like was braking so hard and fast. And I was like, man, you weren't kidding. He's like, no, driving makes me really anxious. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I did not mean for this to be a traumatic experience for you. So I drove after the first stop. But we were talking about, he lives right in London. He doesn't need a car.
Doesn't have a license.
Public transportation, doesn't have a license. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I can relate. Like, I lived in New York. We didn't need a car at all. Some people I know never drive their entire life. Like, but I felt really bad after that. I was like, I'm so sorry I made you drive 100 feet to this first stop. So they come out. Alexis says, well, I have something to say. I'm really sorry for just constantly blaming about my trip. The truth is, I'm really going to miss you. Stevie is just relishing all of these apologies today, because no one thought both Rose children would be apologizing to each other ever, let alone in the same day. And she starts to, you know, like say, I'm really going to miss you. And David admits he's going to miss her too. But then things get a little forced and a little contrived. And she says, you know, like, maybe I should just postpone my trip for a month so you can take this beautiful venue. And David, still on board, says, okay, I'm not having you do that. He realizes that's a mature thing to say. She says, no, just take your wedding gift. I'll do it for you. And she's laying it on thick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And David is like, what is going on here? He is in like spy dog
you're
sniffing
not this
mode.
Generous.
I know what you're up to. And he tells Patrick to call a cab. Patrick pulls out his phone and she says, no. Okay, don't call a cab. I mixed up the date on my plane ticket. And apparently this has happened before when she went to Kate Winslet's wedding. But the calligraphy was hard to read and Billy Zane did the same thing, David. Billy Zane. Do you know who Billy Zane is?
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
In Titanic.
He's Cal, I think is his name.
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you knew.
Yes.
So it seems like a while ago when these two were relevant in history mm-hmm. together. So this was a minute ago when Alexis did this. But yeah, I guess I could see it happening
mm-hmm.
when you're used to that date format. And they all discuss, well, should we go back in? Should we talk to Clive? Should we go in and talk to Clive? And they're all so excited. And just about as they were about to say yes to the dress, Stephanie, They hear this awful squealing down the road, and it's the first Sunday of the month, and the farm, per the farm-to-table catering, is slaughtering their pigs.
Gross.
Womp womp. That is not a sound.
It's an assault to, I think, multiple senses.
That's not a soundtrack you want for your wedding day. No, so it's a no for me, Clive.
Hard no.
So they all leave. End scene. The family reconvenes at the motel and they're having a barbecue. Seems like this is becoming a common thing. And David is recounting the sound of 1,000 guinea pigs being shoved into a wood chipper, and Johnny's grilling pork chops, which don't sound good at all.
And Patrick and passes on one, but David's like, I'll have mine later. So he's still not ruling him out.
Yeah. David will eat anything eventually, for sure. And Moyer says, sounds like you two dodged a bacon wrapped bullet. And yeah, they really did. Honestly, the place was too expensive anyway.
Totally.
And as they're sitting here having the little discussion, Alexis obviously has filled Ted in, and she's, you know, a little disappointed. And Ted is too, because he misses her, but it's probably for the best because he hasn't lizard proofed his place yet. So, which I have no interest in that, just like Alexis.
No.
No, thanks.
Katie, have I ever told you about our lizards?
Your lizards?
We have lizards. We have hundreds of lizards.
In Cincinnati?
In our neighborhood specifically. Sorry for the tangents. They are tiny little lizards.
No.
And it's just in like two neighborhoods in our area. Like going up the steps every day from work because they go out and they sunbathe, I at least cross the path of like 20, 30 lizards every day up these 30 steps. And they're just tiny little guys. Sushant found one in the house like a year ago. But the story behind this is there was a rich family in one of our like richy rich neighborhoods that we live close to, and they took a family trip to Italy one summer, like back in the 30s or something, and the young boy packed a couple of lizards in his suitcase home. And brought them home, and then it became like not an invasive species, but they like multiplied, and so these are these like select Italian lizards that immigrated here and now run amok in our neighborhood.
Wow. Isn't that how alligators in the sewers of New York got started?
Exactly.
People brought them from, I mean, I don't know if that's a real life thing, but people brought them from Florida and then flushed them down the toilet.
So we've got lizards.
They're some of the original some of the original immigrants of lizardry. Italian lizardry.
Lizardry.
I like when we go to Florida, if we're staying at a hotel or wherever, like we'll see the little lizards that, you know, they just like geckos or whatever.
That's
they
what
are.
We have.
And they're cute from a distance. But if I ever wake up with one of those on me, so help me God, I will have a massive panic attack. No, like I will scream like the guy in Home Alone when he gets the tarantula put on his face. So anyways, no lizard proofing, no Alexis. It's all for the best. And as they're kind of discussing this, Patrick floats this idea, you know, why don't we do the wedding here? And David said, why don't we do it on a highway overpass? Under a highway overpass. But Patrick is like, no, like, I'm serious. Like, this place means something to your family and you could make it pretty, which you really, I have been to some backyard weddings, Stephanie, that are top Elmbridge Manor 100 times over.
Yeah.
So if you think about David's mind and artistic capabilities, like he and the way he tackles the project, he could 100% make it beautiful. And I have never loved an idea more than this idea. So
totally.
That's kind of how the episode ends, with one last line. On other news, Moira says, your father was arrested for indecent exposure today. Johnny's like, Moira, we don't need to talk about that. And Alexa says, ew, I'm eating.
Ew. So,
and that's where the episode ends. Yeah. So what a great way to come back into season six. It was funny.
Totally.
Do you remember, Stephanie, when season six was coming out and the promos came out and we were just analyzing every frame of those promos?
Every frame, every outfit. Line, this was also the first episode I watched in real time release.
Me too.
Instead of
me
being
too.
On, you know,
we
Netflix
had to rely on week-to-week television at that time on the Pop Network. Yeah.
Yep.
So, per usual, I'm going to stick in tradition for our sixth and final season, and I will give you a few trivia questions the episode.
Let's do it.
What was the officer's name who caught Johnny skinny dipping?
Oh my gosh. Officer Charles.
Nope. Officer Cornwall.
Officer Cornwall. Okay.
Cornwall. How, let me see. I have a couple here. Let me see which ones I want to do here. How long ago was Moira's reminiscing of the skinny dipping, the first skinny dipping?
Oh my gosh. I did not do a good job paying attention. 20 years ago.
Close. 15.
15. Okay.
Okay. Finally, one more. These are all in the Moira and Johnny storyline. I'm just realizing. What were the names of the two wigs that Moira insisted Roland save?
God, this is making me, you're just putting me to shame. I mean,
this could never, okay, the disclaimer, this could never be in just regular Schitt's Creek trivia. This is just for this episode. Yeah. Like,
Marlena and Diedrich.
No. I see you're channeling your Days of Our Lives. It was Lorna and Cindy. Lorna will never recover if she takes on smoke, and Cindy just got a blowout.
Yeah, I do remember the blowout.
Oh, boy. Oh. Those so let's talk. What are we going to talk about this week?
First of all, I want, and I am open to anyone and everyone's wedding advice. I am putting it out there that I am welcoming it because I am feeling very overwhelmed. And any insight you have of what worked well for you or what didn't work well for you or what your vision is, I would love to hear it. So send your thoughts.
Let's do wedding advice and keep it wedding centric. How long did it take you to plan your wedding? And yes. Why don't we talk about wedding budgets? We won't do specifically, but we'll give ranges, right?
And maybe venues. I'd like to know venues. Where did you get married? Did you get married under an overpass? Did you get married?
A motel backyard?
In a motel backyard.
Have you ever been skinny dipping as a fun poll?
Do you wear tankinis?
What's your bathing suit style of choice?
Yes, let's do it. And we can include skinny dipping in there, too.
She wore an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
I think those are some good questions.
That's a lot of content, especially when we're starting with weddings, because that's a big department we can cover here. Yes. So,
you know, when I was in the wedding biz, that was such an easy icebreaker. Anytime I had a new bride come in, because like icebreakers are always hard. I hate networking events, but when it's something like bridal stuff, like you just ask them, so tell me about your wedding, and they will just go off.
Lots of content. Yeah.
And you don't even have to say anything back to them. Mm-hmm. So it's great. All right.
Uh-huh. You just have to nod and
Sounds great.
That's my type of small talk. What's happening next week, Stephanie? You're taking over.
Yeah. Next week, I'm excited for this episode. We discovered David has a deep, dark secret in his nighttime routine that is resurfacing. We'll call it that. Also, the Rosebud Motel Empire might be franchising. And we get some more info on the Crows Have Eyes 3 release as well. So that's going to continue to develop. Yep. So some big movement there. Katie, thank you for kicking us off with this official season 6 premiere episode. Like we said, it's good to be back.
I'm glad to be back.
We won't have too many interruptions this season, we promise. We'll probably wrap things up a little after the new year, so right around the holidays as well.
That is wild that we're already talking holidays.
It's crazy. But buckle up. Here we go. One more round.
So I was just looking at our calendar, speaking of this last round, and it looks like we have 6 episodes in a row before we take a break. That's pending we do number 6 early. We record 6 early. And then Joe and I are going to Mexico, and then we're coming back, and I think we're pretty much straight through, but I'm sure we'll have some holiday delays and stuff in there since we're hitting the holidays after that. But yeah, sure. Just to give you an idea of our schedule, this is much better than the So better for both of us, too. We're more of structure-oriented gals.
I'm glad to have this part of my routine back, too. So
you too.
Helps me get through the week.
For the 6th and final time.
Yep. All right, Katie. Well, until next week, best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.